We're going back to basics today with today's episode on pothos propagation, but we're bringing an incredibly elevated guest to the party to make sure that we do one of the simplest, most joyful acts that you can do as a plant parent, propagating probably one of the easiest plants to propagate, pothos, but you do it with the knowledge that you need to make sure that you do it right and begin a lifelong relationship with propagation, which is taking existing plants, making cuttings of them, and making more free plants with them. Because who doesn't want more free plants? I'm so excited to welcome back propagation expert Lindsay Sisti to the pod, where we're going to cover beginner-friendly propagation tips, rooting tricks, watering tips, and why making the first cut can actually help your plants thrive.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Hello, my plant friends. Welcome back to Growing Joy. My name is Maria. I'm here to help you grow joy through connecting with plants and nature. Nothing is more joyful than propagation. You get new plants. You get to see roots grow. You get to see life happen right before your eyes. And Lindsay has an entire book on propagation. Her Instagram handle is All the Plant Babies. We decided to bring it back to basics today with a pothos propagation, but a kind of scientifically driven pothos propagation episode. So this is a great beginner-friendly episode to send to your friends who maybe have like a plant or two or a couple of plants in their life, but they maybe haven't propagated before, or maybe they're too nervous to, or they want to make sure that they're doing it correctly. And it's also a great refresher for people who have been propagating for a while, because Lindsay is such a nerd and you always learn something when Lindsay comes on the podcast. So if you've been enjoying the podcast, please take a moment to leave a review. That would mean so much to me. And send this episode to someone you think would really enjoy it and need some support in their pothos propagation journeys. Without further ado, here's Lindsay.
All right, Lindsay, we have decided that we are challenging our entire community with this podcast episode. So please explain the challenge that is associated with today's conversation.
Okay, the challenge for everyone listening is to spread the joy of propagation with this episode and to send this episode to someone in your life that could use a tutorial on basic plant propagation. Easy, simple, beginner houseplant propagation.
Your plant curious friend, the friend that maybe either doesn't have any plants but wants to start having one so you can give them a pothos cutting, or the friend that maybe has a couple of plants and you want to help them kick it up a notch with a first successful propagation. Because Lindsay, I mean, I feel like the thing with propagation that can be really intimidating is if you don't know what you're doing, or if you have a failure the first time, because then you're going to be scared to go back to it, right?
Yes, exactly. And a lot of people are afraid to even make that first cut on their plant. They have a beautiful plant that they love, or there's a plant in their office, and they're afraid that cutting the plant in general will hurt or harm their plant or kill their plant in some way. So this is the episode to encourage people to not be afraid and make that first cut. And we'll guide you through how to do that and be and not hurt your plant and make more plant babies.
Yeah. So today's conversation is really like a propagation 101 conversation. And we chose pothos because pothos tends to be a really great beginner propagation plant. Why do you think that is?
Oh my gosh. Pothos are the ultimate plant for beginning propagation. And when we say pothos, it's almost interchangeable with its very closely related cousin plant, the trailing philodendron. in that both of them look nearly identical. They are not the same plant, but both of them are green, sometimes variegated. They're trailing plants that grow pretty rapidly. They can grow in low light settings. So they're perfect for the office space. They're perfect for the home environment where you may not have a ton of overhead light. You might not have big south-facing windows. So they're very flexible in where they grow and they will still survive. They are forgiving plants. So if you overwater them a little bit, or you more likely underwater them a little bit and you forget about them, they will still survive. So they are drought tolerant house plants and they will still grow. And from a propagation perspective, if you chop them up, as long as you leave a node at the bottom, and we'll discuss the anatomy of these plants in a little bit, as long as you leave a little bit of the stem on the bottom, they will grow back, given that they have some light and some water and some soil on the bottom. So they are forgiving plants all around.
Yeah, they're so forgiving. Now, what's this like old wives' tale that's like, put a pothos cutting in your jar of water with your other propagations? Is that a real thing?
That's legit. That's legit. So not only are they great to propagate on their own, but if you put a pothos cutting in with your other cuttings in a jar of water, it will help to speed up the rooting process of your other cuttings, because plants produce natural rooting hormone as they are rooting. So, by a minimal amount, but it's still a significant amount that it will speed up the rooting process of your other plants. So if you want to help your other plants grow, you can put a cutting of your pothos in with your other cuttings into the jar of water and it'll help them out.
Okay. I thought you were totally going to be like, no, that's bullshit.
It's actually legit. Yeah, no, it's legit.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So before we dive into the step-by-step process of how to take proper cuttings, how to ensure that your cuttings don't rot, different methods for actually, you know, rooting the plants, let's talk about plant anatomy. Because if I think back to the first couple of times I was propagating plants, I was scared to make those cuts. I was scared I was going to cut the wrong thing. I was scared I was going to do it wrong. You know, you read online that you have to have like fully sterilized scissors or your plant is going to die and rot. So what do we need to know about propagation just in terms of the plant anatomy when we're dealing with a vine? So like you said, pothos are a vining plant, heartleaf philodendron vining plant. Like when we're going with these general vining plants that are super easy to take cuttings of.
So anatomy wise, there's a lot of parts to these plants that are important to know about before we make our cut. So, well, I shouldn't say a lot. There's a few important parts that we should know about. And one of the most important, if not the most important part that you should know about is the node. And before I get into what the node is, let's talk about the most basic part is the leaf, right? So you know there is the leaf, and everybody listening to this episode probably knows what a leaf is. And why is a leaf important? The leaf is important because that's where photosynthesis takes place mainly. Mm-hmm. Photosynthesis, without getting into your AP bio trauma or your bio class trauma, bringing that up. But that is essentially where the plant brings in carbon dioxide, brings in water, brings in light, and makes food for itself. Mm-hmm. So it also, plants breathe. Believe it or not, so plants actually do bring in some oxygen, and that is a process called respiration. So through cells on the plant's leaf surface, or holes on the plant leaf surface called stomata, the plant leaf is breathing as well. So these leaves are very, very important for the plant for many reasons. So we want to keep our leaves clean. If you notice your plant leaves are very dusty, it's important to keep your plant leaves clean. But for propagation, leaves, believe it or not, are not as important as you would think. Do they help plant propagation? Yes, actually, because if you have a leaf that is photosynthesizing, so that is creating food for your plant, and it's attached to your cutting, it will help the cutting grow roots faster. Mm. So again, if you have a cutting that you take and you leave the leaves on, the plant will grow roots a little faster. And that is because you have this energy-making organ of the plant still attached. So if you take a plant cutting, leave the leaves. I know that's a big slogan right now, right? For outdoor gardening, but we could apply it to plant propagation as well. Leave the leaves if you're taking a plant cutting. But if you do remove the leaves, that's okay as well. But it will take longer. But if we're talking about basic water propagation, leave the leaves. They are an important energy powerhouse organ of the plant. So then we have our stem. And when you're talking about a basic trailing plant, like a pothos or philodendron, the stem is going to be pretty long and winding. And on this long winding stem, you have spaces that are just smooth and green. And those long, smooth spaces we call the internodes. And those are the spaces between the bumpy areas called the nodes. Mm-hmm. And if you're imagining your plant or looking at your plant right now, you can imagine these long, smooth, on another podcast we were recording, I called them like green beans, small yeah. green bean-like spaces called the internodes. And then there's these bumpy areas, and a lot of these bumpy areas will have leaves growing out of them, and these are called the nodes. And
I like to say they look like knuckles.
Yes, they do look like plant knuckles.
Yeah, like the knuckle of the vine, if that makes any sense. Like, that's what the node is. And I feel like you kind of immediately know what I'm talking about.
Everyone knows what you're talking about. I know, it's such an... It's so creepy. I know, but it's so true. Like, no yeah. one doesn't know what you're talking about uh-huh. when you say knuckle. The only reason why that creeps me out is because then I imagine like roots growing from the knuckle. But it's
I
so
know,
true,
so gross. Yeah.
But it's so true. It is, yeah. it is the knuckle. And then you have from the node right there, you'll see little nubs growing from the knuckle. So you'll see little aerial roots growing from this node. Now, what is the node? The node is a concentrated area on the vine where there is a concentrated area of plant tissue that is able to turn into new roots and shoots. Mm-hmm. So new vines and new roots. So the nodes are like these super, super power areas, if you can imagine, that you want to pay close attention to, because in propagation, the nodes are where all the action is
yeah.
at.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about plant propagation,
it's all about the nodes when we're talking about vining.
All about the nodes. And if you were around or you were a plant collector during the pandemic or the plant crazy era when everyone was buying and trading plants like mad, mm-hmm. people were selling nodes for hundreds of dollars. I mean, people were
called wet sticks. I did a whole episode on wet sticks. Wet sticks used to be so yes. popular. Now, how to think back on that, I'm like, wow, we really lost the plot with that one.
We lost our minds.
We lost the plot. Yeah, we lost our minds with that one. But yeah.
People were chopping up their plants into little pieces and chopping along the internodes and then selling these little pieces of plants and calling them wet sticks. And basically, they were just little nodes and selling them for hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars. But anyway, we digress. So the nodes are where the propagation happens. And with vines, you can basically take two cuttings, right? So either a tip cutting that has a node in it or a node cutting. So can you talk to me about the different types of cuttings you can take when we're talking about pothos?
Right. So when you're talking about a pothos plant, you can take a quote unquote wet stick, which that term really isn't used so much anymore, but it's essentially a node cutting where you cut along the internode. So you make a cutting on both sides of the node, leaving about a 1-inch space on each side or half an inch space on each side of the node. So you would cut along the internode on top of the node and then the bottom of the node. So that is one way where you would make little sticks, and then you would put that in, say, a propagation box, which is a story for a different episode, or we can get into it later on. But right now I will talk about how to make a simple cutting here, which is what most people would start off doing, is just simply taking a top cut or an end cut of a vine, which is you take a pair of scissors or sterilized cutting shears, What I mean by sterilized cutting shears is literally any clean pair of scissors, clean them with soap and water, take rubbing alcohol and wipe them down. Just any pair of cutting instrument and cut along the internode. So the space between two nodes and snip. And then you have a cutting and that's it. And you're not cutting on that knuckle. You're not cutting on a leaf. You're cutting between two nodes. And something that I didn't mention, which is a really important anatomical piece of this puzzle, is a petiole.
See, I've been really intentional about what I'm putting in my body, particularly when it comes to sugars and dyes and all the weird stuff that we find in packaged food. And I am so thankful that I have had Manucora Manuka honey in my back pocket for years now as my go-to sweetener for coffees, yogurts, and sometimes just as a little snack on a spoon. You've heard me talk about Manucora honey on this podcast because I use it in my coffee to make my brown sugar shaken espresso dupe. It is this rich, creamy, caramel tasting honey. It's unlike any honey you've ever tasted. Even just by looking at it, you know it's like so much better than your grocery store honey bear. But it's not only delicious, it's ethically produced by Manukora's master beekeepers in the remote forests of New Zealand. And it has bioactives in it that have three times more antioxidants and prebiotics than regular honey. And these help support your cells and gut. And all you need is one heaping teaspoon each morning to get the most out of those bioactives. So if you've been hearing these ads for a while, because you know I've been loving Manucora for years, and you've been curious, now is a great time to try it. Head to manucora.com/bloom to save up to 31% on your first purchase. Plus, you get $25 worth of free gifts with the starter kit. It comes with the MGO 850+ Manuka honey jar. I've gone through so many of those. 5 honey travel sticks, which are amazing for vacations, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. So check it out at Manukora, manukora.com/bloom to save 31% plus $25 worth of free gifts. So when you have propagation success and it is time to pot up your cuttings, or if your plant has experienced a bunch of growth and you're looking to repot your plant, don't overlook what comes next. Repotting or potting up your plant in the right potting mix and using fertilizer when appropriate can make all of the difference when it comes to helping your new plant settle into their next home. That's why when I am repotting, potting up, anything having to do with potting media, I am reaching for Espoma Organics products for indoor and outdoor plants. Particularly with all of my houseplants, they're potted up in Espoma Organics indoor potting mix. I love that it's organic and it has a rich blend of natural ingredients that provides excellent drainage while holding just the right amount of moisture so the roots can breathe, but they also can retain the moisture and nutrients that they need. This is exactly what newly rooted pothos cuttings need when potting up. They need to have moisture, but not be like drowning. And I find that Espoma Organics potting mix is the perfect solution for that. And then when it comes to fertilizing, I love how simple they make it. They have a great indoor houseplant fertilizer. It's liquid, and all you do is you put it in your watering can. It's super gentle, so you can't burn your plants with it. Like, it's almost, I feel like, impossible to burn your plants with it because it's so gentle. And I put a capful of it in my watering can whenever I see new growth. But frankly, it's so gentle, I put it in my watering can often just to make sure that my plants are getting the nutrients that they need. So with houseplants, whenever you're doing anything regarding potting, reach for Espoma Organics potting mix. They have their general potting mix, which is in the lime green bag. That's the one that I use with all my houseplants. They also have a cactus mix. If you want like a succulent cactus, like a chunkier mix, they have that. And then also, if you want to make a chunkier mix because you are a believer of the chunky soil mix, the hack that I have for that is getting a bag of their orchid mix, which is all of the stuff, all of the amendments that you would use to make a chunky soil mix, but already in one bag that you're purchasing. It's just one purchase. So then I take a handful of their orchid bark mix, and then I put it into the general potting mix if I want to like get fancy and make a more aerated soil, but you don't need to do that. Anyway, I digress. Espoma Organic has all of the potting mixes and fertilizers that you need for your houseplants.
You can learn more about their indoor and outdoor products to make your houseplants and gardens happy at Espoma.com, or you can click the link in the show notes to go to my Amazon storefront where I show you my list of Espoma favorites.
A petiole is what connects the leaf to the main stem. And often when you're starting off with plants, you might think, okay, is this where I cut? It's that little piece of stem-like tissue that connects, again, the leaf to often a node or a leaf to the stem. That is not the main stem. Again, it has its own name. It's a petiole. That is not, in the case of a pothos or a philodendron, going to give you a new plant. In fact, if you were to cut a leaf off at the base of the petiole, so you would just have a leaf with a little petiole sticking out on a philodendron or a pothos and stick it in water, it would not grow roots. Mm-hmm. On some plants, you can propagate with the petiole. And in some plants, you can propagate and will grow roots, but nothing else. And
right.
In that case, pothos, it's called a blind cutting. But
right.
Pothos, no.
Pothos, it's a no-go. So with pothos, we want to take one of two cuttings, basically. Either what you said, you're going to go to the end of the vine, you're going to snip, you're going to trace, you know, the end of the vine has the tip of the vine where there's a leaf growing out of the top. Then you're going to go down one or two nodes. Usually those nodes are attached to leaves, and you're going to clip under one of those nodes. That's a tip cutting.
Yeah.
You're removing the leaf off of that bottom node, right?
Yes. So if it has a leaf on it, sometimes, you know, a lot of times we're taking these cuttings because our pothos are looking scraggly. So a lot of times people want to cut up their pothos because, especially if it's in a low light setting, it's lost a lot of leaves and it kind of looks bare in the middle. Mm-hmm. These are great pothos to cut up because it looks bare, it's going bald. Start taking cuttings of those. So you don't need to remove any leaves because it's already looking bare and balded and it has a couple leaves at the end or a couple leaves on top. But if you have a very bushy pothos, it's very lush, has tons of leaves sticking out from every knuckle, so to speak. I'm going to use that now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a leaf on every node, then yes, if you are going to be sticking that node into the water, which is where you cut, you're going to need to remove the leaf, which is sticking on a petiole. So remove the petiole off the bottom node. You might have to remove two petioles because you're going to want to remove any petiole and leaf that might be submerged in water when you go to put the petiole in water. So remove as many leaves as you need to that would potentially be sticking in water when you go to stick the cut end in a jar of water, if that makes sense. It's hard to describe this all without visuals, but essentially you're going to cut somewhere in the middle of your vine along the internode, which is the space between two nodes, and then you're going to stick it simply in a jar of water. That's the basic way to propagate a pothos at its most basic level. What you can do.
So can I ask a follow up there? So what happens when you cut the top off of a vine? I know that that triggers bushy growth sometimes. So when you take that tip cutting, then what happens to the rest of the plant? Like if you do have a balding pothos, why is taking cuttings so beneficial?
That's an awesome question. So when you take a cutting of your pothos, a lot of people fear that, you know, will the plant grow back? Mm-hmm. Is that it? Is it going to just look ugly from now on? Or will a new growth emerge from deep within the soil? And what actually is going to happen is that due to a phenomenon called apical dominance, when you cut the top off of a vine, a hormone called auxin is now removed. And this auxin is what suppresses the buds along the sides of the vine from the lateral buds from growing outwards. And when the auxin is no longer present at the tip of the vine, these lateral buds, also called auxiliary buds, are now activated. And so when these auxiliary buds are activated, the buds that were dormant along the nodes along the vine, below where you made the cut, they get activated. And it's like, time to go, guys. Let's go. Let's grow. And boom, growth will start emerging along the vine that was never there before. So you'll all of a sudden get this bushy plant from a single vine. So it's pretty amazing because when you have this plant that was maybe three vines, single vines, and you make a cut along those three vines, maybe now you'll have a plant that's six, seven, eight, nine vines, and you'll get this lush, bushy plant. So instead of a smaller plant, you'll end up with a much more lush, bushy plant as a result of you cutting it back. So it's almost the opposite happens than what you think would happen. Mm-hmm. You'll get a more lush plant as a result of cutting it shorter.
Yeah. So I think, you know, don't be scared to cut. You know, I talk about this with basil a lot. Basil is a great example. But like, don't be scared to cut your plant back. It's going to actually make the plant bushier in the long run. There's a pothos behind me. I bought this pothos, a big, robust pothos, because when I did IVF, I took pothos cuttings at the day before I did my IVF transfer. I took a bunch of pothos cuttings for all my nurses in my IVF clinic, like the whole clinic, and I rooted them in water and prayed that, you know, with alongside the baby growing and the embryo growing, that these roots would grow and I would have it. And when I graduated my IVF clinic at 10 weeks, I took all of those cuttings and I put them in individual, like little glass vases that I thrifted. And it was like my thank you gift to my nurses. Yeah, it was really sweet. But if you see this pothos behind me, it's enormous. Like, right. Yeah, in the moment, it was a little bald because I like basically cut the whole plant up, but it's grown back tenfold because I just like triggered the fuck out of that plant. Part of my language. I triggered the auxin out of the, you know, out of the plant because I took probably 30, 50. I took a lot of cuttings from it.
Right.
So anyway, all that to say, don't be scared. So what are the different methods that we can, well, before we move into the different methods, is there anything else people need to know about propagation? Let's talk about callusing. When you're taking your cuts, can you put those cuts directly into water or directly into damp sphagnum moss? Or should you let those cuts callus over a little bit before you put them in the growing media that you're going to put them in?
On a pothos, you definitely can just put it in right away. The vine is so small, there's really no need to let it callus at all. Like you might have to for something like a rhizome or a thick, delicate tropical plant, like you would for an alocasia or an anthurium. For a pothos, they're so forgiving. They're so hardy. Just take that cutting. And the one thing I didn't mention was rooting hormone powder. Things up. You can dip the bottom half or, you know, dip the node in some rooting hormone powder or some rooting hormone gel before you stick it in a glass of water. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, there's no need to have your cutting callus over.
And what does rooting hormone or gel or powder do?
Rooting hormone gel, hormone powder, they're essentially the same. They are synthetic rooting hormone. I mentioned before when you asked about the pothos trick of sticking it in water, I mentioned how plants, they will emit natural rooting hormone when they are producing roots on their own. And so this is a gel or a powder that is actually just an artificial form of that rooting hormone. So we are taking that artificial in a concentrated amount of that natural rooting hormone. And so we're taking that and we're applying it physically onto the node so that in a concentrated amount so that the roots will be more stimulated to produce more roots and longer roots faster. So it does speed up the process. And the gel and the powder are both formulated by different companies to adhere to the plant so that when you put it in water, when you put the cutting in water, it does adhere. Even though the water does wash some off, it will still adhere and stick to the plant. So you don't have to be afraid. Yes, it will. Some will wash off. But at the same time, even if some washes off, it will circulate in the water as well. If you change the water of your cuttings more frequently, it will wash away the rooting hormone. So you have to think of that balance also. So some people like to change the water frequently to keep the water fresh. The downside to that is it will remove the rooting hormone faster. So that will slow things down a bit, but you'll also be replacing the water with fresh oxygenated water, which helps and reduces algae. So that's another topic.
I haven't tested this really. It's just a product that I've used, but I haven't done a proper test, which I should, which is like doing one cup of Pothos with it and one cup of Pothos without it. But I've also been using Prop Drops, which is a liquid. Have you heard of Prop Drops?
I have not heard of that, but
it's a liquid propagation that has, it's like a liquid bottle with the dropper, and you just like put a couple of drops of it in the water. So you're not touching the roots, but you're putting it in the water. And then that apparently helps it grow. And I've been using it successfully, but I feel like I also successfully rooted stuff like without it previously.
Right.
But yeah. So what are the different methods of propagating different types of, you know, vining plants like Pothos?
So there's so many different methods. The easiest when you're starting off by far is just to use a jar of water, a glass of water. You can use a clear glass of water, or even better is to use a colored glass of water to root your Pothos propagations. The reason why a colored glass of water, like a brown root beer bottle or beer bottle, is better than a clear glass is because a colored glass will let less light through and will promote less algae growth than a clear glass will.
Okay.
So it actually has been shown that, you know, a darker glass is like the most ideal because it still lets light through, but less light. So like the ideal situation for water propagation is like a blue or brown glass bottle. That is most ideal. Otherwise, any glass will do for water propagation. Then you have something, if you want to move into the substrates that are not water, you have something like sphagnum moss. Sphagnum moss is moss that is harvested from bogs and often comes from New Zealand. It is quite expensive. You have to order it from online, some plant stores, like orchid stores. But honestly, if you're propagating a Pothos, you might as well just use water. You really don't need it. Same thing for fluval stratum. It's another substrate. It comes from a volcano.
We've done a whole episode on it. If you want to go learn about fluval stratum, Lindsay and I nerded out about fluval stratum on an episode.
Yeah, so you could search this podcast.
That's like the premier propagation media you could probably use, but it's also the most expensive.
Exactly, and it's incredible. And yes, your Pothos will root immediately in fluval stratum, and it's fabulous. I could talk all day about fluval stratum, but again, do you need it? Absolutely not. If you're interested in experimenting with some more substrates, then absolutely give fluval stratum a try. It's, you know, a volcanic substrate. You would fill it up, your jar up with water, and stick the nodes in the same way you would with water and keep it moist. Eventually, the roots would, you know, grow just like it would in water. And the same concept goes for even perlite. You could use perlite, which is very inexpensive, and fill a jar up with water and perlite, and the roots would take hold in the perlite. And perlite is pretty inexpensive. And when I say perlite, I'm talking about horticultural perlite, which I am told is different from the perlite used in construction, which I don't know why. I think it's sterilized differently. But you do want to find horticultural perlite, and that is a great option as well. But the reason why I keep going back to water for Pothos is because Pothos are so hardy that they transfer really easily, and trailing philodendrons as well. They transfer so easily from water to soil that after growing roots in water, when they're 1.5 to 2 inches long and they are that means they are ready to go. So after 1.5 to 2 inches long, the roots will be ready. The plant will be ready for transfer, meaning it'll be ready for you to put it in a pot of soil, garden, indoor potting soil. It will survive that transfer. So some plants, however, will not do okay with that transfer. And therefore, you might have to experiment with rooting it initially in a different rooting medium that will help that transfer go more smoothly. But with a pothos, the water to indoor potting soil transition goes fairly well nearly every time. They are so forgiving. They're such a great plant. Thank you, pothos, for being easy on us. And so I just recommend water, honestly.
Yeah.
Give yourself a break.
Let's talk about transferring from water to soil, because there is a sweet spot. So you've taken your cuttings. Now, say you have that long vine that doesn't have the leaves, right? I've only propagated nodes in water that have leaves that kind of hang out. Can I put just a bunch of nodes in water if there are no leaves attached to them?
That's a great question. So honestly, I've never stuck a bunch of nodes without any leaves in water before. That would be a great experiment. Have you ever done that? Have you ever
stuck? No.
No, I've never done that. I'm going to try it. That's a great experiment. What I do, if there's a bunch of nodes without any leaves at all, that is when I move to a propagation box situation. And a propagation box is really just a fancy plant way of saying a clear container, any plastic tote. And as we discussed on a different episode, it could be a Chinese food takeout container, anything that's translucent and plastic, essentially, that, or it could even be a Ziploc bag, something that you can seal and has 100% humidity on the inside and has sphagnum moss on the inside that's moist. And then you put the nodes on top of the moist sphagnum moss and let them root in there. And that situation creates a greenhouse-like environment, a teeny tiny greenhouse-like environment, so that these nodes can root on top of the moist sphagnum moss. It's basic.
At its basic. And we're going to release a more in-depth episode on prop boxes together as well. So stay tuned, because I think this one will release first. And yeah, but essentially, so if you do have, I'm looking at a pothos, my very first plant, a pothos that I have that's been with me through so many moves, I'm looking at it. And it definitely has a couple of runners. So I think to take those tip cuttings that have the leaves on them, a couple of node cuttings that have leaves on them, and then the rest to chop them up and put in a prop box.
Yeah.
Probably makes the most sense. So
I love both.
So going back to water. So I've taken my cuttings. It's attached to a leaf. I've put it in the water, whether or not I've just put it in water or I've put it in water with some powder, some rooting hormone.
Yep.
How long am I waiting for the roots? How big should the roots get? And then how do you suggest transferring it to soil for best results?
And one thing I do want to mention, a lot of people ask if cinnamon will work for the rooting hormone.
Oh, yeah.
That's something people ask. And
that's an old wives' tale.
Or honey. There's a few things that people use. And while cinnamon does have some antifungal, antibacterial properties, real cinnamon, that is, it does not have studies behind it to show that it does speed up rooting. It's all anecdotal evidence. And so the overall consensus is, why use something like cinnamon when rooting hormone powder is actually proven, or gel is proven, to speed up rooting, the rooting process. And so.
And you can get rooting hormone gel and powder real cheap. It's not an expensive product. Some of the fancier products are more expensive, but like you had recommended a gel to me.
Yeah, Clonex.
Clonex. That's not an expensive product. And also, you buy the bottle once, you're like never going to have enough, unless you're like a grower like you are. Like, I'm never going to run out of that propagation gel.
Ever.
Yeah, like one bottle is a lifetime's worth of supply for me. So yeah, so how long am I waiting for the roots to grow in the water, because I can see through my brown bottle or my blue bottle? And by the way, these brown, blue bottles that Lindsay's recommended, they're a dollar at the thrift store. Like the best place to get propagation vessels, I find, is the thrift store. Yeah. Michael's has great ones. Those craft stores have great ones, but they're expensive. And I collect little old vintage bottles, like just for fun. whenever I'm thrifting, and they're always $1 to $3.
I mean, I say brown and blue, but 90% of my propagation bottles are old glass tomato jars.
Yeah.
Like tomato sauce jars. Like,
totally.
Wish I had brown and blue, but I always use clear tomato sauce jars because that's what we have in the house. And then I wash off the labels, and that's what we use for everything. So, I mean, I wish I had the brown, but
do you think that lucky those like old medicine bottles, like the really old ones, like from the 1900s?
That's my dream.
Brown. Yeah. That's I have a couple of those.
Really? I need to go to the thrift store. Okay, yeah. That's on my to-do list because I dream of like a whole shelf of those vintage, beautiful, the things that become sea glass and you find like the cool.
Yes, totally.
Okay. Now,
anyway, we digress. Root length and water. Root length and water.
Okay. You have me fantasizing about my new shelf. Okay. So root length and water. So again, ideally 1.5 to 2 inches, but when I'm rooting something, I'm not going out there with a piece of measuring tape and figuring out 1.5 to 2 inches. In fact, what usually happens, at least for me, is that I forget about it. And it's like a few months later and the roots are like 5 inches long. And I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah. I like to see a little branching too. If the roots have kind of either branched or if they have little lateral roots that are starting to grow on the side of them, that's showing that they're getting more robust and kind of ready to go.
Yes. Oh, they're like ready. They are cooked. Mm-hmm. And there's like a whole new shoot. It's a huge plant in there. I mean, yes, that's what I think that happens for most people.
Yeah.
Like the water has evaporated. There's like new species of fungi in there. There's an animal has moved in. There's a form. Yeah.
Shrimps are swimming around. Yeah, exactly.
Shrimp in there. Yes. Yeah. That's what I mean. But if you are more diligent, 1.5 inches and the water is fresh and is sparkling and you say it's ready to go. So that's the earliest you can take your plant out and know for sure that you are safe. However, caveat to that is if you are in a very humid environment and you'd like to take your plant out earlier and it's only about an inch, the roots are an inch long and you don't throw your plant in, but you want to pot your plant up earlier and then put your plant into a greenhouse-like environment, then your plant will continue to root in the new substrate. But if you're like most people, you have ambient humidity. Your humidity in your home's probably around 40%, give or take, maybe 50%, 30% in that range. And so you'll wait 1.5 inches or longer. Again, you're going to then take your plant out. Do you need to wash the roots off or do anything special? No. At this point, you could dip it, you know, if you want to encourage more and faster root growth, you can then dip it again in some rooting hormone powder, especially if the roots are small. That always helps. Some rooting hormone powders have like antifungal in the powder. So that helps to like decrease root rot as well. So that's like an extra bonus if your rooting hormone powder has that included. So I like to do that sometimes. And then if we're dealing with you'll want indoor potting soil. I say indoor because, especially if you're new to this plant game, you might think, well, can I just grab some soil from outside or from the garden center or some compost? The answer is maybe, especially for pothos, because they could literally grow in anything. But we want indoor sterilized potting mix. Something for tropicals, tropical plants is ideal. I like to add a little extra perlite to any indoor potting soil that I use. And that just is insurance against overwatering and it creates extra air pockets. So I like to buy a little extra perlite. A bag of perlite is not expensive. You can get that at any garden store, at Home Depot, wherever you buy your plant supplies. So I'll mix in some potting soil, indoor potting mix, with 20% perlite for some extra air pockets. And then I will pot up the cutting into a small pot. Remember, your roots are probably small. So the pot you use should also be small. The pot you use should be about, I would say, so this is where it depends because everyone's cuttings are different. If you took 20 cuttings, then it's going to be a lot bigger than if you took one cutting. But overall, you want the amount of soil that you use to be about an inch or two wider in diameter than the root ball to start off. So the root mass that you're dealing with. So that's very important. Start small when you have your cuttings. Over time, you're going to pot bigger and bigger. So it might look at first a little silly how small your pot is compared to the amount of leaves that you have and the amount of foliage you have because you're dealing with a small root system.
And you'd rather set those roots up without overwatering them accidentally with putting too much soil in there or the soil not drying out fast enough.
Yes.
Okay. And then, so if we're looking at like kind of good, better, best, like basic, because once again, our challenge today was to have people send this to people that have never done this before. So if we're looking at good, better, best, good is take some pothos cuttings, stick them in water, wait for their roots to get 2+ inches with branching.
Oh, and that takes 3 to 6 weeks.
Okay, 3 to 6 weeks. So be patient. Take the roots, pop them in a small container of potting mix. Water that potting mix.
With drainage holes.
Water that potting mix and also keep that potting mix a little moist. I mean, this is what I do. I don't know if you do this, but I do when I transfer into soil from water, I like to keep the soil a little more moist than I normally would to help those water-based roots transition.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Okay. Yeah. So that's good. That's like, you're going to have like 98% success rate if you do that. Yeah. Better would be you take your cuttings, you put some rooting hormone on them, whether it's gel or powder, you propagate them, and then you put them in soil. And then best would be you use the rooting hormone, you take your cuttings, you use the rooting hormone, and then you wait until they're 2+ inches, and then you pot them up and you add perlite into your existing potting mix to add some air.
Yes.
And then you keep that.
Yes, exactly. And then even extra would be add humidity to this whole situation.
Yes. Put it in a grow box, like we talk about in our upcoming episode, but put it in a terrarium, put it in your grow cabinet,
lots of greenhouse,
put it in a plastic bag. You could stick it in a plastic bag to create temporary humidity to add some humidity to support the root growth. Is that basically summing it up?
Yep. And lots of light through all of this. The more light, the better.
And then okay, so the light, because why do we need the light for the rooting? Because the light is hitting the leaves, which you were talking about, which is where the photosynthesis happens, and that's going to help the roots grow faster.
Yes, yes. Okay. And it also hits the stems. There's photosynthesis happening wherever there's green on the plant, wherever there's chloroplasts, and the whole entire plant needs light. And even though pothos is a quote unquote low light plant, like it can survive in a lower light situation, it still needs light. And the more light, the faster it will root, faster it will grow. So the faster it will propagate. So we want more light. Don't be afraid of light. It will be hard to burn your pothos. I mean, I'd be very surprised. You'd really have to
Live in Florida and like have it outdoors like me. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So if you're growing indoors, you're not really going to burn it with, next to your window.
Yeah. Because it's a little baby that's growing. So you need to give the little baby all the good nutrients that it needs.
Yes.
And then have you ever done any fun? Like I've wanted to do a propagation wall a la Hilton Carter for so long, like a wall full of like test tubes full of water that you just like constantly have plants on rotation in and out. I've not done that yet. I do have one magnet on my refrigerator that's a test tube in like a wooden block, and the wooden block is what has the magnet. And I'm always rooting something in that little test tube. But have you done any fun like propagation projects like that, have some sort of fun aesthetic and kind of crafty side?
Yes, yes. I created, actually behind me, it's empty now, but I bought a bunch of wooden shelves from Etsy. There was this wood shop that I think they were in Michigan that creates a carpenter that created these shelves with the test tubes, and I had them all filled with propagations, and it was beautiful. And it was actually just stunning for photographs. And I took a lot of pictures for my book, and I had them all filled, and I absolutely loved the way it looked. And it was so much fun. But my only problem was over time, dealing with the algae in the test tubes was difficult to maintain. Mm. Because you have to clean each test tube individually. Mm. So, you know, like the water bottle brushes, like the tiny water bottle brushes that you have to use to get in. So it was unlike a big propagation jar that you're just kind of rinsing. I had to like get all the little brushes in the test. You know, a lot of these things are like super fun to build and make.
They're great ideas.
Yes. And then take pictures of. But then when you...
The longevity of it.
Right. So here I am like, oh, this is so beautiful and great. And then I'm like cleaning 50 test tubes like every month. This is not fun for me. Like, yeah, who's going to... And I'm like, can I hire someone to be like my test tube cleaner? So behind me, I have like 50 empty test tubes because I decided that having 50 empty test tubes was more fun for me than 50 filled test tubes that got algae. But that being said, I think everyone should have it that can maintain it because it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do it and you think of it as like this zen activity where you're like, I'm filling these test tubes and I'm cleaning the algae and I can just be zen about it. It's just like a beautiful routine. But for me, the washing thing was not zen. It was just
Is there a way to avoid algae growth?
Less light. And but light is what makes them grow. And then if you had colored test tubes.
Mm, that would look weird, though. That's not the vibe.
You know, you could make it look not... I mean, but...
That makes me think of, like, the parties in college where, like, you're doing the chalk, not, like, the colorful chalk out of the test tubes. I don't like that.
But I know. It's just not... It's... But where would you even get custom brown test tubes?
No, exactly. Like, that's not... I don't... You know what I've also seen that I really want? When I love thrifting. So I follow a lot of thrifting accounts. You can thrift old champagne, like, stock. It's not a device. It's like a wooden frame that would hold champagne bottles. And then you stick, but it's like it holds the neck of the champagne bottle and then you turn them. So you can put normal test tubes or bottles or vases in it. And then you can turn that into a propagation station. And then I've also seen the cool trend that florists also use where you take vases and then you retrofit. Sorry. You take candelabras and you retrofit.
There's some beautiful creative things that people do. That's sometimes I just search on Etsy for propagation stations and see gorgeous things.
I know. I did just order. We did another interview on prop boxes and I did just order acrylic tall shoe boxes on Amazon. So that's like the least aesthetic thing I'm going to do. But for what I need right now, that's what I need. But yeah, I think so. What I'm going to do, I'm looking at this pothos. It has two long vines and we're talking 2 to 3 feet of vines that the leaves have fallen off of. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to do the tip cuttings in water and then I'm going to do a prop box for the nodes. And then I'll just drop the nodes back in once the nodes root, I'll just put them back in the pot.
Yeah.
To bush it out.
Great idea.
Yeah. So you're the propagation queen. Pothos propagation 101 is like pretty basic. But once you do this and you have success and you propagate your first plant and you're like, holy shit, I just made more plants for free. Like I just took one plant and made it into two plants. You're going to get hooked. So you need to find Lindsay and her incredible propagation book and all of her things. Also, if you love alocasia, if you love breeding, like Lindsay's your girl. So where can everyone find you?
So I am All the Plant Babies on Instagram and I have a website, alltheplantbabies.com. And my book is The Ultimate Guide to Houseplant Propagation. So everything we reviewed today is in my book with step-by-step tutorials and photos and very corny plant jokes. Just a warning.
Love it. Love it. If there's not a plant pun, I'm not interested.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, my friend. And I can't wait to report back and show you all the propagations I've taken because you've inspired me so much.
Awesome. Awesome. And I hope that you do find some brown and super cute brown and blue glasses at the thrift store.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, plant friends, thank you, Lindsay. All of her info and her book will be in the show notes. I hope this episode has you inspired. Like I said, send this to someone who might need some support in their propagation journey. Let's get people propagating so they can share their cuttings with more people and bring more plant parents into the world, all in service of having everyone in the world keep growing joy.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.